Welcome to Happily Family. I'm Cecilia Hilke,
I'm Jason Hilke.
and we are delighted today to have Christina Nation with us. Christina is a best-selling author of The Perfectly Imperfect Family and The Power of Everyday Grace, Parenting Teens with Depression, and other books. Christina is an international speaker, a youth and family therapist, and parenting coach dedicated to helping families of teens struggling with depression. She provides parents with the tools to deeply connect with their teens, provide unwavering support, and advocate effectively for their mental and emotional well-being. She's the mother of four and foster mother whose clients benefit from her years of personal and professional experience and her degree in youth development. Welcome, Christina. It's great to have
Great
you.
to have you here, Christina.
Well, thank you. It's so wonderful to be here.
I wanted to first ask you, because we wanted to talk about teens with depression today. I know that you had a tough time with one of your kids, and I wonder if you could share just a little bit about that to help frame the conversation here.
Yeah, definitely. In my chapter, I do talk about my daughter who, as a teen, struggled with depression. So first, myself as a teen, I struggled with depression, and then my daughter started struggling. And because I had myself, I recognized some of the signs, and was able to be there for her in such a way. And but I remember how scary it was, even though I had been there, even though I had some training already, I had been a parent coach and trained in positive discipline. I'd been working with families as a behavior specialist in the school district. So I had some tools, but I was so scared and so worried. I remember, not being able to sleep at night because I was so worried for her. And I remember, going through work and getting that phone call from her begging me to pick her up because she just couldn't get through the day. And so we, experienced many challenges during that time where she was having a really hard time going to school. And she just being in that environment, she just couldn't keep it together, couldn't focus, couldn't, just really struggling. And so we worked around getting her some supports in the school. Then she started struggling with suicidal ideation. And anyone knows, parenting teens is tough. And then parenting a teen with depression can just be downright scary. And so, we went through trying to get her all the different supports, but that's why I decided to, share my story and share my daughter's story. And with my daughter's permission, she really is passionate about helping other teens as well and helping parents to know how to best support their teens. So I'm grateful to her for sharing her story.
That's really lovely.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys sharing your story because it is really challenging for parents going through those times. And one of the things that occurred to me as you were talking about that is given your background, your experience, and then also your experience now as a parent working with a kiddo that is having similar challenges, how did you kind of address your own feelings around it? Because I can imagine there's one thing for a parent to be scared and worried about their kiddo, but then there's another thing for that parent to have had those same experiences or to have been down that road and then to see it happening with their own kiddo. And how did you recognize that for yourself? What did you do to take care of yourself first? Because, we all talk so much about how, we got to take care of ourselves first before we're able to really help take care of our kids. So could you talk a little bit about that for us?
Yeah, so being that I had been through it before, I was able to really empathize with what she was going through. But one thing I'd like to mention is even in that, we have to realize that even if we struggled with depression ourselves or some other mental health or some other challenge, it's not the same story as our teen. So we can empathize, yes, but We have to validate their feelings and be there, be present for them, and realize that their experience might not be the same as your experience. And so really leaning in and hearing them and being there for them and what they need. Like, I know one thing that my daughter did not appreciate is she didn't like hearing that others go through it. You know, a lot of times you hear, you know, people want to say that you don't want to feel alone, so you want to let them know that others have been there. Well, for her, she was like, well, it's not just everybody. This is me, and I need you to get me and what I'm going through, and not hear that everybody else goes through it too. It somehow like diminished her, you know, the validation for her, hearing that comment. So things like that is like you have to really hear their experience and be there for them. But taking care of myself, that was my tough part. That's the part that I really work with my parents with now. And because I didn't do a good enough job with that myself when I was going through it with my daughter, I you know, was just always worried and always just depleted, and I didn't do enough self-care. So that's definitely important, because you can't truly be your best to support them and be there for them if you're not, you know, taking care of yourself and your needs as well. And it's I get how hard it is to do. You know, I get it, because you're just, you know, everything goes to your energy to them. But you have to take care of yourself so that you can be the best for them. And I feel like if I had done that, I could have showed up even more powerfully and supportive than I did, because I didn't. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's tough. Yeah, and I relate to it too, because our kids have had ups and downs also, and prioritizing our own self-care is super, super tough. The other thing that I've worked on a lot is my own sense of guilt and shame around it, because I thought that it was evidence that I had failed. Like, oh, if I was a really good parent, then my kid wouldn't be going through this. I don't know if you had similar
Yeah, definitely. I mean, if I was a really good parent, they wouldn't be going through this. And here I am, a parent coach and a behavior specialist. And you know, so yeah, all the things, definitely. But at the same time, I knew that I kind of we had a family history. My mother lives with bipolar as well. So I kind of had prepared myself for the fact that, you know, out of four kids, there's a really good chance some, if not all, of my kids are going to struggle to some extent with their mental health. And so that is why I spent my life trying to prepare for it. But even with all that preparation, and even, you know, with all the training, I still felt that guilt and shame. And what if I could have, you know, done more or, you know, support. But I just kept focusing on, well, we're here now, and what can I do now? And so that's what I really encourage parents to do is, you know, so many circumstances go into whether someone struggles with their mental health. You know, you have the genetics, you have the biology, you have the environment, you have the toxins. And when you're talking environment, there's family, yes, but there's the greater community, the school. I mean, there's so much goes into, you know, if someone's going to struggle or not. So it doesn't serve any purpose to beat yourself up. It's not going to help serve you to support them by doing that. So really just focusing on, this is where we are, and what can I do to best support? And, you know, even doing all that you can do, it still may not feel like enough. You know, I mean, I had all the training, I did all the things, But it's was so painful not being able to take that pain away from her. You know, as parents, especially nowadays, we're all about like take away the pain, prevent that. You know, we do too much of that, right? Too much of trying to you know, prevent them or take away any pain or grief, but we can't do that. We have to instead help guide them through it. So that's what I like to teach is the tools to be present, to best support them, to teach them the tools that they're going to need to get through it. And I can tell you now that my daughter is doing amazing. You know, she's a young adult, just became a mother. I'm a grandmother. She has a 4-month-old daughter, and she is an amazing mom. And going through her struggle with depression, she came out the other side stronger, right? With all of these social emotional skills that are going to take her through her life and she's going to serve her. And then she's going to be able to help her daughter or possibly other people in her profession. So we can't take away the pain, but we can help them learn how to deal with it.
Yeah, you know, it's
That's
really interesting
wonderful.
as you say that. I was thinking about, when the kids are little, they fall down, scrape their knee. There's feels really tangible that we can do something about that, right? We get some ice, get a Band-Aid, read them a story. It's
Can
like,
kiss it.
yeah, you can do stuff, right? But like when they're going through something like this, it almost feels kind of helpless. Like it's like,
Yes.
what can I do? Like it, maybe, you can't take the pain of the scratched knee away, but you can do stuff about it, it feels like. And when they're going through like a difficult situation around depression or other mental health struggles, it feels so helpless. And like there's no Band-Aid, no story, and they're older. And so there's that added challenge. So I just was thinking about how challenging that can be for a parent. I know as a parent coach, you work with parents that are having these challenges with kids, and I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about some of the tools or what you do in supporting them when you're working with parents of ki with kids like this.
Yes, definitely. Definitely that feeling of helplessness is was very present for me and is very present for the families that I work with. And that's why I'm so passionate about doing the work that I do is you know, my business is called Empowered Parenting, is to empower parents with the tools to be able to best support them. So that's, you know, how do we connect with, support, and advocate for our teens when they're struggling with depression, anxiety, ADHD, whatever the challenge may be? There are things because, you know, even though we can't take away all their pain, we can support them and we can help teach them the skills that they need to overcome. And so our role as a parent in this situation is so critical. And what we can do to help support them is going to help them manage to get through. My daughter talks about all the time that our relationship is what helped her get through that time. And you know, it wasn't easy, okay? Because a lot of times I talk about it in my books and telling my story as well, we had the most amazing connected relationship before she started struggling. But while she was struggling, a lot of times when a teen is struggling with depression, they also start engaging in risky behaviors as a way because they don't have the healthy tools to manage. And so it can show up in other ways of trying to, whether it's self-medicate with alcohol or drugs, or if it's, you know, dropping out of school, or if it's excessive video gaming, you know, any of these things can show up because it's their way of trying to deal with the pain inside. And so a lot of times when these risky behaviors come up, it makes things even more challenging, and a lot of times can really affect the relationship as well. A lot of times when someone is struggling with depression, they are they self-isolate, they kind of cut themselves off from their peer group, their family, and they just go within, and that can be challenging for the relationship as well too. So the tools I work with, number one, always starts with connection. And when you're going through and it's tough, remember, I used to have to tell myself over and over again, focus on the relationship, not the behavior. And so I just kept focusing on strengthening our relationship. What can I do? Spending quality time together, right? What does that look like? And a lot of times, like I said, they might be trying to self-isolate. They might be pushing you away. They may not seem like they want to spend time with you, but they do. It just needs to be on their terms. So you just need to figure out what they want to do, what are some things that you guys could do together? What do they enjoy? What does, some supports for them? And spending that time together, and how to be encouraging and ask those curiosity questions and listening to, what they're going through and how to validate their feelings and be there for them and not minimize their pain. And how to be supportive. And so all of those things, connection, number one, number one.
I wanted to ask about this because one of the things that you've written is about replacing the kind of problematic behavior with a positive, healthy behavior. And I think that's what you're talking about here, rather than focusing on the thing that they're doing to try to make themselves feel better, like the ineffective coping, games, substances, isolation. Rather than focusing on that, focusing on replacing that with something else. Is that true?
Yes, definitely.
And what kind of tips do you have for parents when they think, oh my gosh, A, my kid is doing all these like horribly unhealthy things, and you want me to ignore them? And you want me to just like connect with them, and they're driving me bananas. Do you have any like things that you can say to a parent who thinks that by not addressing these other behaviors that we're like saying yes to that? Are we making it okay for them to game and sneak out at night and quit school or whatever?
Well, we're not necessarily ignoring, but we are, because we still want to have boundaries. And sometimes when parents, trust me, when my daughter was telling me she wanted to end her life, having boundaries was very difficult because I didn't want, I was scared that if I pushed in this way or that way, then it would send her over the edge, So I get how scary it can be, but they need those boundaries. There, with boundaries is a sense of safety, right? So if we just completely ignore and have no boundaries, then it's not going to be best for them either. So we don't completely ignore. We still have our boundaries. And we still have expectations, but we are loving and nurturing, and we're communicating and we're supporting along the way, and we're focusing on the relationship and spending that time together, having those conversations, asking the question, what can I do to best support you? Because it may look different for every child, right? So asking them, what can I do? What can I say? How can I be here for you? How do you need me to show up? What supports can we get for you? Would a counselor feel good? What's the social worker? Do you have a favorite teacher at school we can make a plan with? Is there, do you feel medication might be beneficial, or do you want to, do you like exercise, playing basketball? Like, my daughter was a gymnast, so she was very athletic. But the depression did get, to the point where she quit gymnastics, but she still needed to move her body, and so finding out what those healthy coping skills are as well, and encouraging those, and teaching them more skills. So you're not ignoring the behavior, you're just focusing on the relationship. And then at the same time, like you touched on earlier as well, replacing with those healthier coping skills. So, if they are engaging in risky behaviors, then what are some other alternatives? So brainstorming with them, what are some things that you find that are helpful? It could be writing, it could be writing in a journal, it could be, for a lot of teens, listening to music. It could be, for some, it is video gaming, but if that's too excessive, then we want to find some other things, like physical activity, being out in nature, taking a hike, playing basketball, just walking around the block, even, just getting physical, getting outside as much as possible. And how can you best support that? Would do they want you to take a walk with you? Do they want you to sign them up for the community center or gym membership, or any of those things? So brainstorming those things together.
I love that. So I'm hearing a lot of asking them questions, being curious, getting their ideas, but also offering some of your own and problem solving together.
And supporting them in taking those actions. 'Cause I think sometimes that's what, or at least from my experience, some of the struggle they had is actually initiating. Like they knew what they wanted to do and they knew things that would be helpful, but actually doing it was sometimes a struggle. And so helping them initiate and do some of those things that you've brainstormed together is sounds like another kind of support that we could be providing.
Yeah, I
Yeah,
want
and
to.
it can be challenging as a parent because you may have the conversations. You may know, like, okay, in order to feel better, you need to sleep well, you need to take your medication, you need to see your counselor, you need to go to, you need to do all these things. And when you are depressed, just getting up out of bed is a challenge. So we may see this lack of motivation, this lack of, they're not doing the things that we know are going to be helpful. And that could be tough, as a parent. And you have to really balance, because you don't want to be nagging them. You need to be supporting them and encouraging them, yes, but know that sometimes just getting out of bed is something to celebrate,
that's great.
and
Yeah.
keeping that balance as well.
That's a good reminder, definitely. Because it is sometimes tough as a parent to be like, I know what would help you. Like, we know. But to also be finding that balance of not nagging, but supporting.
And this is, I think, the impossible question, but I'm going to ask it to you, Christina, because I think that this is like the crux of parenting, is knowing that this is actually Dan Siegel's quote, is knowing when our kids need a little push-in or a little cushion. And with kids with depression, what are the things that you think about that help you understand, does my kid need some encouragement to get out of bed, for example? Or do they need a little cushion to be like, yeah, it's okay? How do you figure that out?
I love that. I hadn't heard that one, and that is so perfectly demonstrates what it is how do you know, though? And that's the question, right? How do you know? And that we as parents know our children better than anyone, but we don't always get it right. But also, like I always say, it goes back to asking, asking and trying it out, just taking that feel, like you could try with the encouragement, but if it's just, they're just like, Mom, I just can't do it today, then maybe they need some cushion, right? So you can always, try to be encouraging, But if it's just not helping, you get a sense of that, they usually will let you know by their behavior or verbally that this is not going to happen today. I can't, you know. And again, every teen is different. There's a lot of differences even between our males and our females, right? Luckily for me, my daughter was very verbal, you know, and did express a lot. But I work with so many parents are like, they just won't talk to me, you know, they just won't open up. They can't express to me what's going on for them. And so that's a huge challenge a lot of parents deal with as well. Like, yeah, my daughter, I'm talking about my daughter, but I have three boys. So I get that, you know, the boys have a hard time expressing their feelings, and sometimes it can be harder to reach them. So, you know, and a lot of times when I talk about parents and that is just, you know, just being present and available is sometimes all you need. Just, you know, if they're on their games and playing in their room, just go and sit in their room, and you don't have to say anything, you know, just being present. And, you know, maybe they take a break from that game, and maybe they do, you know, open up a little bit. And then how you respond when they do open up is going to be crucial, so that continues that conversation. So making sure to be open and listening and validating and not shutting them down, not dismissing, not, you know, not nagging, or lecturing, but just being present.
That's
Yeah, I love that.
great. I really love a lot of what you've talked about here in supporting for parents because it is such a challenging time for them when their kids are going through this. And I appreciate what you've shared with us here and everyone that's watching. And as we're wrapping up, is there anything else that you want to add that we haven't covered?
Yeah, I just want to add the message that you're not alone. As scary as it may be, you're not alone, and there is support out there. The wonderful thing is nowadays we have a lot more parenting support. We have a lot more mental health support. So it's just about finding the right supports. And when it comes to your teen's mental health, it does take a village, you know, and creating that support network, not only for your teen, which can include, you know, the social worker at the school, the counselor, their pediatrician, their, you know, this huge support network, but also for yourself as the parent. Like we talked about self-care and getting yourself as the parent support as well, whether it's your own therapist or a parent coach or someone who's been there, or, you know, a community within church, or, you know, whatever it may be. It's just crucial to get that support to wrap around you, your teen, and your family.
I so appreciate you saying that. I know that from our experience, that was one of the things that really helped us weather through a lot of that was the people that we had around us that we could talk to as parents. That's what really gave us the ability to get through some of those really tough times. So I'm really glad you talked about that. I think it's something that's often missed as parents is we're looking so much for the kids and how to support the kids, and we forget to take care of ourselves and support ourselves and how to do that. So thank you for that. And what's the best way for people to find out more about you and your work and things that you have to offer?
Yeah, so if you are feeling concerned, worried, not sure if your teen is struggling with depression, but you're concerned something's going on, then you can download my 10 ways to distinguish between typical teenage phase or teen depression. And you guys will share the link with them for that, right?
Yeah, we'll put that link in the speaker notes. Thank you for sharing that. I think it's a super valuable resource, I think, for parents, especially when they're early on in the stages. So thank you for that. It's great talking to you. Thank you for sharing your wisdom and your coaching with us and everyone here at the conference. And we look forward to talking to you again in the future. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh,
Thanks,
bye-bye.
Christina. Bye-bye.